Welcome to this latest episode in the Enterprise Times Security Podcast Series. My name is Ian Murphy. My guest today is Sumedh Thakkar, President and Chief Product Officer at Qualys. Today we're going to be talking about containers and security. Hello, Sumedh.
Hello, Ian. Thank you for having me. Hi, guys. This is Sumedh Thakkar. I'm President Chief Product Officer for Qualys. Qualys is a cloud-based cybersecurity solution which provides an entire platform for securing all kinds of infrastructure, including container cloud, as well as on-prem and SaaS solutions.
The uptake of containers by developers and operations teams has outstripped expectations over the last few years. We've gone from virtual machines that were large and clumsy and took a lot of space to thin, small containers that have proliferated everywhere. There's also been a lot of attention on how we secure these. Where are we with that? And what are the key issues you are seeing people face?
It's been a very interesting journey. It's one of the fastest evolution in IT that we have seen. I mean, it took much longer for people to go to Linux than from Linux to virtualization. Containers have accelerated significantly just in a couple of years. It came from the drive from the development teams to want to have a much better control over being able to automate all of the deployments, being able to push out services that are lean, that are microservices. As always is the case with the development teams innovating and pushing things out fast, security was not the top of their mind to push that out. We saw the initial deployments and then we saw some pretty big glaring issues with the way things were pushed out. Having said that, the biggest advantage that we have with container security is the ability to really embed the security right in from the beginning of the cycle. We see our customers are mostly beyond that initial, I don't know what to do with containers, to starting to really have a clear idea of what to do. I don't think a lot of people are really quite there yet in having figured out how to do it exactly, but I think people have some idea of, okay, these are the things I should look at from a container security perspective.
A couple of years ago, I was at one of the early KubeCons, and one of the discussions around containers was how we had an opportunity to change how we consider security. Instead of having it predominantly as tools after the event, we had the opportunity to put a lot of the tools inside the container frameworks. It would make them invisible to developers, invisible to users, accomplish that whole goal of shifting a lot of stuff to the left. How are we doing on that?
I see right now that customers are focusing on that. There are multiple aspects of container security, but the aspect of being able to do a much better job in the development and CI/CD pipeline, that has gained a lot of momentum. It's also a lot less risky to do compared to deploying tools in the production environment. There is a buy-in from the development team. As long as they can automate and code something in, they're happy about it. Solutions that have lent themselves to embed directly in the CI/CD pipeline have really provided a great opportunity. I completely agree that this is an opportunity to change how we do security. You can make sure that your images are tested thoroughly and eliminate any vulnerabilities, configuration issues upfront. The biggest problem with non-containerized environments is people keep spinning up servers and then they keep patching them. The concept of patching has completely changed with containerization. Development teams can really now do a good job with ensuring that they are checking for all of these issues upfront in the CI/CD pipeline. Because these containers are very short-lived, patching changes because now you can just patch the image, create a new image, and spin up new containers, spin down the old ones, and you're patched. That is the first thing that customers are focusing on when it comes to containers right now.
That patching a golden master is interesting because we talked about that back in the late 1990s, early 2000s with virtual machines when we talked about virtual desktops. But we really haven't seen a massive push forward. But as you say, some of these containers live for such short periods of time that we need this in the orchestration. If you look around your customer base, look around the industry, how mature has the container industry become in making sure that the processes to patch that golden master are firmly embedded?
That's really a good point. The promise of this golden image patching has always been there, but it was always existed on paper because the tools were really not there to do this full automation. In the virtualized environment, you had this thing where it was a lot of manual work. A lot of the virtual images were staying on for weeks and months, even though they were virtualized. So patching the image was not enough. that has changed with containerization, where a lot of these services, the way they are written, are supposed to be, even if they're not necessarily short-lived, they come with a lot of tools. What has fundamentally changed is the open source capabilities that are now provided for managing these images, managing these containers, what you're able to do with Kubernetes, and the level of automation that you can bring in with just coding, that's fundamentally changed. That has lent itself to truly being able to provide this kind of a capability where you can embed the patching in the golden image and then quickly recycle all of the images. The clustering approach and all of that actually lends itself quite well. What we see is that we have customers that are really at two spectrums, some that have completely rewritten their applications to be truly containerized, and they are reaping the benefits of having this ability. And there are others who don't have a clear idea of how to go about it. They are trying to take their existing code or older code and trying to containerize it and run it like it is virtual images. That's where they have a disadvantage versus those who are taking the time to rewrite their applications the proper way.
One of the downsides of DevOps and even DevSecOps is that we don't really address all of the operations teams, and we don't address everybody in security teams. Things like change management, we see as part of what we do from a development perspective, but we don't see it always in our patching and our orchestration. Are you seeing a maturity in an approach that change management has to encompass everything, including our images?
That's the part where the teams are struggling to figure out the boundaries, where security team comes into play, where the compliance team comes into play, where the development teams comes into play. This is not really a question of technology or ability of the containerized environment. This is about defining the proper structures and the processes within the different teams. I have seen the spectrum of organizations where they have complete automation for their testing, and they actually let their developers check in things that go directly into production environment, completely bypassing the operations team. Then the development teams are responsible for whatever happens in production. That works for those organizations because they have automated it to the point where if something goes to production, there is an issue, there is an automatic rollback to the previous versions, which is all completely built in and automated. So in that environment, people look at the hard change control less aggressively in environments where you have a bunch of different things in silos, and there you look at change control as really required because you don't know who's changing what, where things are coming from. Everybody needs to be aware. In a theoretical way, you can think of that it is possible for the development teams to really be the ones pushing everything out. Now, on the other hand, you need your checks and balances. That's where the security teams are maturing, are focusing on defining the policies and the gates in the process where they control the gate rather than trying to deploy solutions. That is helping build a better relationship between development and security to say, yes, you guys can code all of this and push it out, but the policy of what is a pass and a fail is going to be created and dictated by the security or the compliance team. There is still lack of clarity, and organizations are still trying to find that maturity when it comes to change controls. But the technologies that are out there do lend themselves to be able to do change control. As an example, in Kubernetes, you can have a clear admission controller that can ensure with automation that whatever is going in is only approved images and not unapproved images. So you have this sort of machine done change control, which otherwise it would be done by a bunch of people sitting in a room as part of the change control meeting.
How do we speed up the translation of those policies into pipelines? Effectively, that's the missing piece here, isn't it? We need those pipelines that we can just drop in to our process, whether that be early at the creation of the container or the code that's going into the container or at deployment time. But the problem is that policies sit in whole different engines, whole different headspaces. There doesn't seem to be, at the moment, a huge push to see a new generation of tools that allows us to do the interpretation of one into the other.
It's about the maturity cycle. When the developers started pushing in the new pipeline, there was no thought about security tools. When security started becoming important, they went out and used open source security tools that quickly were pushed into the pipeline. They were local and able to test for some controls. And that was okay. But then when you start to get to that maturity level where you need to show compliance, you need to show unified reporting, you need to have a single policy across all your different pipelines for images on what is passing, what is failing, then you start to realize the limitations of a bunch of these open source technologies. That's where we started to see our customers coming to more centralized, cloud-based, more mature commercial tools like Qualys. They say, we need that ability to have that definition, central control, central delivery of the policies through a single platform so that we can show our compliance, we can show what we are doing to the various teams, and we can have a central place where we can push out policies uniformly. As the organizations are getting mature and compliance requirements are becoming more clear, people are now looking at more mature tools to say, it's not very different than what I used to do in the non-containerized environments when it comes to being able to show compliance. I need to have these tools. That's where tools that are centralized like Qualys help to show that compliance and have centralized policy management.
As we've seen container technology become more adopted, we've also seen a significant shift in what a container does. In the early days, we were talking about very small pieces of code just to be able to connect them together and build systems. Now we're seeing people putting databases, full fat applications, even huge chunks of data inside a container. How does that change our security thinking about the container? Because it's no longer about the object and the code, it's now about the contents.
There's the right way of doing containers and the not so right way of doing it. Just like with any other infrastructure, you're going to see this happen where it's all open to interpretation and how people do it in the short amount of time they have. There's containers that are talking to cloud environments that are running in cloud environments. You have containers that have no nodes that run them. It's all managed container environments. And you have these places where, yeah, people are saying, yeah, it's just easy for me to download from the internet an Elastic image for a container and just spin that up. That takes us back to the same place that we have been in security always, which is, I need to know what I have. I need to know what's running. I need to know where it is running. I need my asset inventory. I need the ability to do prevention by patching and scanning everything early on. I need to be able to still do my monitoring and detection for that reason, because developers are doing what they are doing. The security team doesn't always know. They see a container is a container. They need to know that this container is a database container versus that container is not a database container. Being able to monitor at runtime, not just in the CI/CD pipeline, so that you can look for the behavior and adjust your policies accordingly, becomes quite important as these things mature. At the end, from a security perspective, you cannot really make that big of an impact on how these applications are being run. You can always have best practices, but developers will do what developers will do, which is why that runtime monitoring is important.
When we think about monitoring our environment from a security perspective, we use a whole bunch of tools that log and record stuff. We've started to use automation so we can identify where we have problems or where an attack might be coming from. But the ephemeral nature of containers means that by the time we've actually captured the data that there might be some malicious code in the container and that code's executed and we've interpreted the network traffic and the actions, the container has disappeared. What needs to change in our security tools to enable us to move to a real-time tracking of containers?
That's a really interesting topic, because security for a while has been very much about doing things after the fact. Your SIEM solutions, they collect the data, they bring all of the data in, and it may take a few hours, and then there's an analysis that runs, and somebody has to go in and manually look at it. What is changing is that you need that security to be embedded in the container. It needs to go with the container to be able to collect data in real time. It needs to, in real time, apply those policies that are needed. One of the advantages of containerized environment generally is that microservices tend to be very well defined. Their roles tend to be very well defined. It is possible to have policies upfront that say, these containers are web server containers and they should only be talking to these other containers, which are database containers, as an example, and they shouldn't be talking to anybody else. Those rules can be defined upfront and monitored against, but the security has to go with the container and the ability to block those things in real time. Now you can implement that at runtime, because like you said, no point collecting the logs and the following day finding out that a process was able to do a cat on your Etsy password file a day ago and they've already done the damage. being able to define it upfront is the best way from a real-time perspective to be able to see that. You need a platform where you can collect the signals from the multiple containers in real time and analyze those to say we're seeing some activity that is not normal. It becomes much easier to do these things in the containerized environment because everything and the role of every container is pretty well defined. That's the biggest part about the container runtime capability that we are introducing, that ability to have a small piece of security code that goes with every individual container. Now you're not dependent on the runtime, you're not dependent on a sidecar, you're not dependent on a privileged container. You define upfront that this container should only do these things, that will be enforced by the security solution, no matter whether it's in Fargate or wherever else. That makes it a lot more real time because now you're saying this container should only accept these things, should only talk to these devices, should not allow these files to be opened. All of these policies can be centralized.
If we think about the way a lot of attacks occur at the moment, they rely on an action by a user or an application or something that allows the attacker a foothold into our system. Can we begin to rewrite applications in such a way that they sit in containers where we can strictly control those inputs, outputs, very similar to the way you were talking about just now, so we can identify what they can connect to and how they connect, and therefore finally begin to change security, move it away from an open field for the attacker to a much more controlled field for the defender, but without preventing the end user doing their job?
This is an excellent point. The move towards containerization and microservices, segmentation, etc., has been the desire to refactor your application for better efficiency in running the application. I can make this simplified. I can give specific functions to each microservice and clearly define the interaction between them. Development teams push that from their perspective of creating more efficient application architecture. This notion of saying we can leverage that same concept to also factor these things to be more secure is one of the things that the more mature organizations are looking to say. A big part of the issues that we end up having is because we have these big monolithic applications where different things are happening, different teams are coding different things, then you have things that get slipped between the cracks from a security perspective. With the containerization, the mature teams are factoring and refactoring the containers not only to make them more efficient for their own purpose, but also make them more secure. Like I mentioned earlier, you can now really say that this container has this very specific role and it can only do this, and I don't need to open all these other things. That container can only talk to this other set of containers, which is doing the processing. You can pretty dynamically and with code define these security paradigms, which is kind of what I was mentioning earlier, the real-time security that you can define upfront and enforce much more easily within the container world than in the regular world of virtual machines. There, it was all about having to deploy expensive, massive firewalls that then you will have to tweak, and that's a different team and a different process. Things were never in sync because the firewall policy would never really go along with the container. Today, you have the ability to say, when I push an image, I can define that this image should only be able to have these things and only be able to talk to these other things. The security goes along with the image rather than traditionally what we have had, which is your big expensive firewalls that are sitting on the edge and only trying to block some things, and then no relation with how the developers have done their applications.
How much of an opportunity is there here for commercial software companies to lead by example? If we look at the challenges we have with our existing applications, they're often huge code bases, very complex. And as we know, month after month, we all get pushed large amounts of patches, and that in itself creates part of the patching security problem downstream. If we think about microservices, about containers, about the ability to patch a gold master and push that out to all customers, it seems there's a much better way for us commercially to deliver software. We're seeing parts of that in SaaS, we're seeing parts of that on some platforms as a service, but we're not really seeing it in a wider software sense. Why is the industry not leaping in on this and taking advantage of the technology?
I think we're caught between two dimensions of time. One is push towards PaaS, as you mentioned earlier. People are saying, I just want to go to a service that is run by somebody else. We started down that journey of moving to the cloud and SaaS solutions and hosting things, less and less things ourselves. when you go in that direction, commercial software companies have really focused on delivering their solution as a SaaS service. The customer doesn't have to install or do anything. I have a product, it's available directly from the web, and you don't need to install it. Some applications, however, cannot be run in the cloud. They need to be hosted within the environment and be run. That is where we've had these issues where there's a big deployment and the updates come once every few years. The commercial software solutions that are installed on-prem, they do need to go through the same journey that everybody else is, which is refactoring their applications, making them containerized, making them extremely easy and automated for people to pull down newer updated images directly through the registry every day and spin up their services with automation. As commercial software technologies or tools that need to be deployed by other organizations, as they go and rewrite, that's an opportunity here for them to do that. They are going to have the advantage versus having to deploy a massive application from some vendor where you get a lot of hardware, specialized hardware, and you have to have people who are experts in deploying and managing those kind of applications. What we see today is newer companies, newer commercial solutions that are coming out providing, here's my application is 5 images. Here's a script that you can run, and those images will automatically install and spin up the containers and how they interact with each other. Everything is defined up front. Deploying and delivering software on-prem has become a lot easier the way we do it now. The startups are going that direction. Existing products, obviously, there's big monoliths and people really have to focus on rewriting them. And what happens in that case is that if you're going to spend all that time and money to rewrite your application, then people really think, well, should I just go and deploy this as a SaaS capability rather than providing on-prem software? But I think that's a very valid process to say, shouldn't all the commercial vendors who provide on-prem software also be refactoring their apps?
This is the point in most podcasts where I put people on the spot. Let's say I put you on a stage in front of a group of CISOs, developers, security people, even end users, and say, what are the top 4 things that you can give us around containers to be in a more secure environment?
When we look at where we are, there are really 2 main aspects of securing your containers. One is in your CI/CD pipeline, and the other is at the runtime. What we do today is help customers have a solution where they can embed directly with full automation the ability to assess those images in the CI/CD pipeline in your build process so that security teams can define the policy. Those builds will fail if they don't meet the hygiene criteria set by the team, which is a big, big saver in terms of being able to ensure that you don't spin up images that already have 2-year-old vulnerabilities. We provide that ability in a very easy way because we're a cloud-based SaaS solution. Customers can just go put in their Jenkins, put in the policy of pass-fail, and then they can ensure that under continuous integration, they are protected. On the CD side, integration with Kubernetes, as I mentioned earlier, ensures that any image that is getting spun up in the production environment is only coming from an approved set of repository, that rogue images are not being pushed out, that you can have a repository of what is scanned and passed in Qualys that can be put in the admission controller to do a quick check. I have an image that is coming up. Can I check that it was recently scanned and has passed? Then it can be allowed to go in. I've never seen this image in Qualys. I don't want to pass it. You can do it that way. So that's the second point. Third aspect is that a lot of times solutions are developers, they build lean images with minimal things in the layers and then they pass the scanning. But then once the container is spun up from that image, they will go and maybe download quickly from an S3 bucket, some library or some application inside the container because they want to do something with it. And that can cause vulnerability. The third thing that we provide is that ability at runtime to continuously assess your containers for drift, ensuring that your containers are not drifting from your base images that you pass to make sure that there are no vulnerabilities is the third thing that we really provide. The fourth aspect is the runtime capability of being able to monitor the containers for what containers are creating what network connections and what files are being accessed in which containers, and then ability to provide policies upfront, define them to say that these containers are only allowed to talk to those containers. If you take those 4 things, that provides a pretty comprehensive ability to ensure that your containers are scanned in the CI pipeline, that you don't spin up rogue containers in your CD, that you are tracking drift, and also that you are actually able to look at the runtime posture of it as well.
I think it's interesting, this opportunity to completely reshape security and software, and containers seem to be the start of a journey where we may see a whole new focus. Sumedh, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure talking to you guys.